Blog Talk Radio.
Royal Dream. Royal Dream. Dream. Royal Dream. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back up on my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on a bench and die. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buff like highs and fly to true ambition. Till the numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers old. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland and make all of you governments die.
Ring my bell, think of your ground. Royal dreams, they try on me. Run it on me, royal dreams. I ride into the mud, there's no more fantasy. It's all about who you know, those you call family.
All right, all right, all right, all right. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, April the 15th, tax day. Monday, April the 15th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're going to wrap up part three, where we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about Yahushua, the HaMashiach. We're talking about the master teacher. This is where I get all of my strategies, all of my what I call didactic teaching from. And we were talking about, this is kind of a rehash of a series that I did many moons ago called The Unutterable Name, where I broke down and went through how, you know, the essence of the Essene and the Nazarene has been combined with paganism to give us the current reality that we have. Now, instead of going into what I've already discussed and debating, and we introduced really, really briefly, you know, the idea of the two messiahs. We got, again, Yahushua ben Joseph, or Yahushua ben Yosef, and then Yahushua ben David. One is the suffering Christ, the other one is the reigning. So we're going from the cross to the crown. Now, all of this has to do with a symbolic and esoteric meaning, which is everything that I talk about. So without going in, now, this does not do away with, you know, the current narrative, but again, it's about substance. So if we're debating about the current narrative, the only question I have is, does the current narrative allow you to have substance? Can you operate in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and self-control? Okay, do you have faith? Do you have fruit? And do you have freedom in all four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship according to your design? So everybody, some people are designed to be billionaires. Some people are designed to be millionaires. Some people are designed to, you know, be $100,000 heirs. Some people are designed to, you know, 25 grand, but according to your design. So that's what this course is about. That's what this program is about. So while everybody's debating about whether the actual Jesus Christ, so there's no debate. That was a guy who walked around, name was, again, Yahushua. That's why the name Jesus, that's the English rendition of the name Jesus. Now, there was a lot of Jesuses that walked around. The one that fits the narrative that's been presented to us was, again, Yahushua ben Joseph. That was the name of the individual that walked around. Now, there was a lot of Yahushua ben yourselves, because that was a common name during that time period. But the one, the Messiah, but again, there was a lot of Messiahs. There was a lot of Christ. And so the concern, the problem is that the powers that be under, over, and understood that if they can get you to buy and to give all of your power to one individual through the form of worship or through the form of church or money or what have you, then that neuters you. So that way you can't be a Christ, because according to your understanding, there is only one Christ. And so the way the system works is powerful, because most people, again, don't do what I did and what I was taught in, and that is go where the evidence takes you. I mean, you don't come with a predetermined, disposition. You go where the evidence take you. So you got to be your own detective. You got to do what the Bible says, when it says study to show yourself approved unto God. So if you don't study to show yourself approved, okay, then you can't follow the evidence. You got to follow mine. And that's the problem. No good detective is going to follow another detective's work, no matter how great the detective is. Let me let it resonate. It's going to take a moment. No good detective is going to go to a crime scene and take the notes, the photographs, and everything of another detective. Now, when I was a cop, we would pass our notes, our field notes, and everything that we had on a particular crime scene over to, let's say, if I was a municipal cop, and let's say we were taken over by the state, and the DPS or the Department of Public Safety, or again, the state patrol came in, or let's say the state has a case and the FBI came in. Well, we would hand over all evidence. We would hand over our field notes. We would hand over all leads. We would hand over everything that we researched. But when we handed over to the detective that was taking over the crime scene, hopefully they did the same thing I did. And that is, they looked over it, and then they pretty much fouled it, because they have to do exactly what the Bible tells you to do. This not only works spiritually, but it also works naturally. And that is according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm not telling you to do away with anything that you've been taught. That's what I did, because that's what I was trained to do. Now, when I did away with it, what does that mean? I threw it out? No, that means I took it out of my mind, and I did not allow it to affect my ability to use reason and logic, my ability to look at the evidence. I did not come out aletheia, and that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you do not have aletheia, if you don't have this, then you are deluded, meaning you got a preformed disposition. So the problem in Christendom and everywhere and everybody I talk to, they have a preformed disposition. What do I mean? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind the believers of these things, charging them before God to avoid quarreling over words, which is in no way profitable and leads its listeners to ruin. So the number one problem on the planet is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, remind the believers of these things, charging them before God to avoid quarreling over words. I don't quarrel over words. I only deal with substance. Why? Quarreling over words, it is no way profitable, and it leads its listeners to ruin. That's the problem with Christianity today. It's in a state of ruin. The church is neutered. It has no power. The black church. I don't know about other churches. It has no power. Zero. Why? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Make every effort to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. So you're supposed to be accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid irrelevant, empty chatter, which will only lead to more ungodliness. And so most people that I know, that's what they're engaged in. They are engaged in irrelevant, empty chatter. Now, there is enough evidence that I've been talking about, especially what I talked about yesterday, using cosmology, using biology, and using theology, that I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I don't have a belief system. I have a proven theorem. And I took one cell out of your body, and every part in your cell matches up identical to every part of the tabernacle that's inside of the book of Exodus and inside of the book of Kings and all throughout the Old Testament. Exactly. And I can go through every part of the human body, and I can go through every part of the biblical narrative, and I can show you where it is in the Bible. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's on you. But it's there. And I can show you every event, and I can prove to you every event, bad event and good event, and I can prove to you that it is a biological process inside of the body. Now, does that take away from any of the physical attributes that we've been taught that have taken place? Moses, did he literally go and open up the Red Sea? Did he literally walk up a mountain? And was there literally a burning bush? Did he literally take the shoes off his feet? Did he literally hear the voice of God? That all of those events were those literal events. To me, that's a non-issue. If you believe those were literal events, I have no problem. If you don't believe those are literal events, I have no problem. I just got one question for you. Can you pay your light bill with whatever you believe? Does it make you a better father? Does it make you a better husband? Does it make you a better citizen? Does it do anything? Because Yahushua can that you may be a better, that you may have a better life, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. So everything, regardless of what you believe, it should do something. It should help you do what we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. Because at the end of the day, remember, there's a reason why these stories are presented to us. Out of all the stories, the powers that be, that they could have put any story that they wanted. Why that story? So why that particular narrative? So you got to be smarter than the average Joe. Meaning, Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 says, Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, and it talks about the fact that we have been given, or that there is a peace that has been established and extended to each and every one of us and over the entire world. This peace that is the result of this intimate relationship that is based upon wisdom and knowledge of the source or the prime creator or the Pleroma that reigns in everybody's heart. That doesn't exist. So people are arguing and debating. They're doing what it says not to do in 2 Timothy, because they are promoting Buddha, they're promoting Muhammad, they're promoting Hare Krishna, they're promoting Jesus Christ, or they're promoting any one of the other, 12 crucified saviors. But none of them have none of the substance that the saviors promoted. But they're all fighting over the symbol, but nobody has the substance. Nobody has love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. There's people that would hurt you if you don't believe like them. And so what's missing is substance. So Jesus Christ was the best teacher on the planet, because his teaching used a different variety of different strategies and different methods that promoted a high level of critical thinking. That is how I know when someone has encountered the true living Christos, the oil, because it activates critical thinking skills. So what are those critical thinking skills? Let's go over a few of those critical thinking skills. Now, again, I'm not here to say Jesus Christ existed or Jesus Christ didn't exist. I'm here to talk about the substance that Jesus Christ brought to the table. Now, when we say Jesus Christ, we know, again, even the name produces a lot of debate. So, again, but that's the symbol of something. So, okay, let's say Yahushua the HaMashiach. Okay, that could produce some debate. But again, what is the substance when I say Yahushua the HaMashiach? What is the substance behind that name? And so most people don't have that substance, but they're willing to hurt you or me if we don't use that name. So when I was involved in this, and the thing that woke me up and got me out of it was the endless debate. It just went on and on and on and on and on and on, and everybody was presenting evidence that they researched that was manipulated. So when you read about the Council of Nicaea, and it's really interesting because I like, you know, when people tell me the Council of Nicaea was God ordained. Okay, I'm not saying it was or it wasn't, but all I know that all of the books that they took out fit a certain agenda. What agenda? And it's really interesting because it's so obvious, because in all of the books of historical fact, it talks about that the Romans were realizing that there were more Christians than there was pagans. And they needed to hold on to their beliefs, so they had to figure out a way. Constantine wasn't stupid. He knew that their belief system was going to be eradicated. And he had to figure out a way, okay, how could he, you know, the primary purpose, and this is what blows me away, of any religion is to control people. So religion is the word rely on, R-E-L-I, the I is a Y, rely on. You don't rely on yourself. So it's a way to control. So it's a control mechanism. So that was a spread of Judaism all throughout during the 70 AD, back during the Jewish-Roman War and all that stuff. If you do the history and you look at it, all of this was introduced around the time when the Romans were losing their grip on power. It's like the peasants was outnumbering the priests. So the priests had to figure out a way to control the peasants. The priests, because that, remember, especially back in them days, the priests was a reading class. They were the intellectual class. The peasants weren't even allowed to learn how to read in certain aspects. Now, again, I'm not talking about, you know, all over the world. Now, so don't have to email me. Well, brother, you know, and over in West Africa and over this. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the Romans. We're talking about the part of how Christianity came into being. Now, it existed way before Vespasian and Titus and Flavius Clemens and Flavian and all of the other emperors, all of the other popes back then. But they, again, paganism was on the way out. And what, you know, I call Essenism, Nazarenism, was on the way in. And so they had to figure out how to way to control it. And so the Flavians understood the difference between Christians and Christians, because these were all sects that was incorporated into Roman Christianity. And so once this stood, now again, once you watch and you listen to, especially though, if you read anything from the Antiquities of the Jews, the book called The Antiquities of the Jews, it really talks about this. There's another book called The Jewish War. When you read, again, the Jewish War or the Judean War, it breaks down what was going on. And this was all about control. And so the best way to control something is to incorporate it into what you're already doing, so that way you satisfy the people that are angry and upset. It's the same thing that they did with the black people. So black people, we was angry and upset. And so they gave us civil rights. Okay, what about all the other rights? Well, Negroes didn't care. That we was happy because we got civil. What about criminal? So we was marching and fighting for criminal rights. What about financial? So out of all the rights that people can get, the government was great. They got this dude named Martin Luther King. His name wasn't Martin. Actually, his name was Michael. And like most of the time, anybody that's promoted, they usually got they've signed some kind of a contract with the government. You do not get to that high level to be on TV unless you're part of the system. Nobody. Now you can say that even my boy that just passed away, Nipsey. Like I said, I've already broke down that Colin Kaepernick. You cannot be on national TV unless you're part of the Boulay. We'll put it that way. Now they're gonna present you. I mean, Dr. Sabi, anybody, any household name. You are not a household name. You will not be a household name unless now. Everybody, some people got more dirt than others. Maybe you guys just got a little dirt. But maybe you got a lot of dirt. But everybody got some dirt. Otherwise, you're not going to be on national TV. They don't trust you. They gotta have something on you. But that's another study for another time. But the gospel is no different. So this rendition that is presented to us is presented to us because there's a reason. There's a purpose. The purpose is control. And the reason why they indoctrinated paganism into Christianity is so they can keep the pagans happy and the Christians happy. So now we got Easter. And now we got holidays, but we ain't got no holy days. And even the whole system, holidays, holy days, Islam, Christianity, the whole system is flawed. So we could do it with the whole system. I mean, that's what I did on January the 1st of 2009. I did it with the whole system. So we are arguing, so this whole 3 hours that we spent talking about this, really, honestly, we could do it with the whole system. Okay, really, if we really, really been honest, we could do away with the whole universe, if we're really honest. Because why? The whole universe is an unauthorized production. So what do we do next? We go to the innerverse, which is what I've been promoting. What is the innerverse? Well, that's when you go in to the place where you see God face to face that we've been talking about in the private shows. And you activate the oil because the whole physical body, remember, everything on earth is just a copy of everything that's in heaven, of everything in heaven. So everything on earth is a shadow object that's in your head, everything. So you can get the original or you can keep hanging out with the shadow. I just deal with the original. Now, I talk about the shadow. I have people understand the shadow because we live in a world where the shadow, just like in The Matrix, where an old boy was sitting at the table and he's eating that steak. And he said that, I know this steak is not real. But as he's smacking on that steak, he said, I know it's not real, but it's so real. I mean, the fake is so real, and my senses are activated by fake. So your 5 senses nullify your 12 senses. Now, I talked about that in a private show, and I broke down the 12. Now, this is inside of my book as well. So the members of the Life Management System and the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, you should already know this. So your 12 spiritual senses are neutered. Are deactivated when we talk about stuff like this. And it activates the 5 fleshly centers or senses because the senses are centers. And so when we talk about this, even the name Jesus Christ is a code. Jesus means the body. Christ means the oil. It means the oil in the body. So if the oil inside the body is not crucified, crucified means amplified, then you don't get to over understand. So everything Jesus taught was about amplifying the oil inside of the body. So what and how did he talk? He taught by using illustrations. He would pick up a grape and he would talk about it. So all throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Matthew, that he used certain illustrations. He loved to talk about, and he would love to illustrate. What does that mean? Yahushua do what I used to do and still do. I would use something that was familiar and something that was factual or concrete to explain something that's abstract. I do that all the time. Why would I get that from? I got that from Yahushua. So he always told stories. I tell stories all the time. I talk about my childhood. I talk about this. I talk about that. Why do I always tell stories? I tell stories because Jesus did not teach about distant lands and stuff that he didn't live. He talked about ordinary things. He talked about stuff that people could relate to. He talked about real life issues. He introduced and he used current events. If you notice, if something going on, I'll do a show on it. I've done a show on every holiday. I've done a show on the esoteric history of Mother's Day. Mother's Day ain't got nothing to do with Mother's Day. It's a bad Halloween, Easter, every holiday, bad, really bad. But we already know that. So now we're getting ready to break down something else, sex and marriage. Not what you've been taught. So, again, Jesus did the same thing. He introduced and he explained what was being taught based upon what was original. He talked about the historical evidence and historical events that help people see past the smoke and the mirrors so you can see the allegories. He always used metaphors. He always used similes. He always used allegories. Why? Because that is a way to explain tangible objects. So he would always talk about things that was an allegory for something else. It was a parable. He would talk about birds, but he was talking about your body. He was talking about, crucifixion, but he was talking about amplification. So he always used allegories. He always used tangible things. He always asked a bunch of questions all throughout the Bible. The Bible is a book to help you understand how to think, not what. The Bible is a book of critical thinking skills. Well, that's what it is. It's a book to help you get your critical thinking skills together. Because when you read it, it's going to dumbfound you. You're going to come up with, you're going to have more questions. It's going to cause more questions than it answers. That's the purpose of the book. The Bible is not a book to answer questions. The Bible is a book to formulate more questions. The Bible is a book to formulate the right questions, because the wrong questions get the wrong answers, but the right questions get the right answers. So the whole purpose of the Bible is to assist you with formulating, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 16. Make every effort to present yourself approved to God and to be unashamed, a workman who accurately handles the word of truth. So everybody that's listening to my sound of my voice, you should be accurately handling the word of truth. So that implies that maybe we're not handling it accurately. So how do we do that? Well, we go through it and we do the same thing that Yahushua did. He doesn't tell you what to believe or what to think. He presented certain things to you. Everything that you have been read, everything that you've been taught was presented to you because somebody wanted to steer you into a certain way of thinking. I'm not one of those people. I want to present to you the facts. That was the first coming of Christ. There's the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ is the amplification of your knowledge. The second coming of Christ is the crown. The cross takes you to the crown. Millionaires Training Center, that's what I'm talking about. That's the mystery of the two Christs. Really, there's not two Christs. There's Messiah ben Joseph. There's Messiah ben David. Those are aeons. Those are not individuals. Those are in the ancient text. Those are periods of time. Those are aeons. Remember, we genderify everything. God doesn't. God wants you to be like him. All knowing, all power, all present, all simplistic, and all benevolent. He doesn't want you to be caught up in any wind of doctrine. He don't want you to be tossed to and fro. He wants you to be all knowing. He wants you to be able to understand the present church age. And he wants you to be able to understand how things are cyclical. He wants to understand the cycle. He wants you to understand how he set up this system so that way you can get out of fighting, okay, is it about Horus or is it about Jesus, when both of the stories are talking about the same thing. He wants you to get out of fighting over Messiah ben Joseph or Messiah ben David. And he wants to understand that this is dispensationalism. He wants you to be able to see that whole Hoshea, Yeshua, salvation, and Yeshua, those are all the Yod, Y-U-D of Yeshua. It is what they call the ladder to salvation. On this ladder, or on this road, that is the DNA, which is Yod. The DNA represents a ladder. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, it talks about this ladder. And I broke down during the show on Sunday morning. If you haven't listened to watching that show, or watch that show, please watch that show, because it talks about the war that is taking place on you right now. A brief scripture in Exodus 13, it says, Then Amalek came and fought with Israel in Reb Hiddim. Moses said unto Yeshua, choose men for us and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Yahushua did as Moses said unto him. Now, this is from a book called Bishalek. Bishalek is a Jewish book that's the same story that's in Exodus 13:17 in the traditional Bible. But yet the names are supposed to be the original names, but it tells a little different story. Now, I could read the same story in the Gilgamesh. I could read a similar story in the Bhagavad. I could read a similar story in the Quran. So in other words, what am I saying? All of these stories are the same story, but the names and certain similarities are changed just a little bit. But it's still the same substance. But we're going to get caught up and fight over the symbols. And so this, my brothers and sisters, is extremely, extremely important, because regardless of where you're at. In the book of Deuteronomy, for example, it talks about it. It's almost the exact same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, Exodus 17. And then this another ancient text, a Jewish text called the Kohathah, K-O-L-H-A-T-O-R, chapter 1, verse 14, same story. Now, I've read a lot of different stories from a lot of different religions, especially what they call perennialism. And perennialism is not something that's really taught. It's how can I put it? You have to kind of know somebody to know somebody that knows somebody to be able to break it down and to kind of, similar to the Kabbalah, they don't really teach that to Goyim. But the essence is the same. The story is still the same. But it causes division. But we're talking about a God who's bringing unity. So how can we have a subject or a religion that causes division, but we got it from a God that is divine to bring about unity? So once you understand the true reacher, the true words of what I call the teacher, Christ, Yeshua, Ben Joseph. So if you put Christ before Yeshua, Ben Joseph, then we put in the oil before the body, or we put in the oil in the body. That's, my brothers and sisters, is the true essence of Christ, Yeshua, Ben Joseph, or Christ, Yeshua, Ben Yosef. You find very few people who will understand the importance, because the oil, that oil, when it is activated, it brings about a calm, peaceful, it activates the structure of that stuff. We'll probably kick that one off on sex and marriage, and we're going to break down the crystalline purpose of what you and I call sex and what you and I call marriage, which is in the oral tradition is not called neither one of those words, marriage or sex. So that's the purpose of the show, to get out from the symbol and connect with the substance. And so we talk about Christ, Yeshua, Ben Joseph. That means, again, the drug, the oil drugs, so that way one can be used as a weapon. That's the word. The word Christos means weapon. The word Christos means drug. And we've talked about this before. Now, what does this mean in English? This simply means consciousness. It means awareness. It means guidance from within. It means that there is a small, what the church calls, you know, that still small voice. There is this small voice of God's word unfolds light. So there should be, again, some unfolding taking place. That is how you know you're in the presence. That is how you know that you have contacted the Christ, Yeshua, we call Jesus. Now, you got to remember, because the enemy is not stupid. There are, you know, people, the 888 has dual meaning, as does the name Jesus, as does everything has. Everything on this earth has dual meaning. But we're coming out of duality and we're going into severity. That's the whole purpose of what I do. Because right now, duality, yin and yang, up, down, left, right, happy, sad, fat, skinny, you know, short, tall, and nobody really knows. So we got a bunch of, okay, Jesus, no, he's the morning star. Okay, the devil says he's the morning star. So a lot of these attributes that's associated with, quote unquote, the Savior is also associated with the anti-Savior or the Antichrist. That's duality. Okay, that's confusion. That's Confucius. But that's what we're in. But thankfully, we're coming out of darkness into the marvelous light. And that's the purpose of critical thinking. Critical thinking skills are what Christ brought. Why? Because you and I are rivers of living water. Now, the next series, I'm going to talk about it. Actually, I'm going to introduce it during this series because it's so important. There is something that everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice must master. This is not something that is optional. This is something you have to understand, and that is the ability to read people's life stream. The ability to read the ability to detect, the ability to discern. That is the proof that the pineal gland is activated, the ability to read people's life strand, their aura, their energy, their chi. Need to know the true. This is true knowing. This is true. This is true knowledge fulfilled. This is what is called the crystal. This is where Chrysler comes from. The name Chrysler is actually the automobile company. You know, Chrysler is from the word crystal, or crystal, or crystalline. This represents what happens to the pineal gland when you encounter the true didactic teachings of the Christ. Because then it gives you what's missing on this dimension. And what's missing is the ability to read people's life stream. So somebody comes, no matter where they are, they walk up on you, you can pick up their chi and their prana, their energy. Because it's inside of the crystal light matrix, inside of the brain, because the water holds memory. Everywhere water goes, it captures that memory. Water is like a computer hard drive, and it copies and it holds that water. And so everybody's made up of water. And so you have the ability to interpret water. And so that's what Yahushua was trying to bring to the table. That's what he was establishing. That's why there's so much debate. That's why nobody wants you to know true esoteric crystals that's inside of the blood that emit a certain frequency that can be read or interpreted by people whose pineal gland is activated. And the pineal gland is the physical aspect of a spiritual process that takes place. With a spiritual process, that means that you are christened, that you are Christ. But if you don't understand that, what happens when, for example, now this is biologically proven. If you go into a dark room and you sit in a dark room, it assists with the promotion or the releasing or the secretion of DMT and serotonin. This activates what is called the spirit man. Now, you can do that right now. That's what meditation is. Meditation, you know, that's what the Bible says, go into the closet. And when you pray, pray private. Don't let them know. Your left hand should not know right hand mean. This is talking about the dark room that's inside of the brain. And so your ability to understand that everything that Yahushua talked about was about you understanding you. This is paramount. Because when we talk about, again, the Bible says that God honors his name or his word above his own name. And that's a powerful statement. So how can he honor his word above his own name? And what does that really mean? In Psalms, what is it? Psalms 138. Let's pull that one up. Psalms 138 verse 1. Psalms 138 verse 1. And I will give you thanks with all my heart before the gods, plural, more than one. I will sing your praises. Now, we can stop there because we've got to read on, but that scripture alone, Psalms 138 verse 1, powerful. He says, I will give thanks with all my heart. Now, the Bible talks about what is the greatest commandment of all. When we're talking about why everybody's debating and arguing about the name, what the Bible says when they ask Jesus, okay, what does he say? Hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's that word again, with all your heart, not some of it. So the problem I have is that we have a lot of people that don't love God with all their heart. You don't even have to know who God is. All you got to know is you got to know that there is a designer of everything that's been designed. That's it. Now, if you call it God, if you call it rabbit, squirrel, donkey, monkey, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just have a understanding. You have to understand that there is some essence, frequency, wave, vibration, source. Because this design just did not pop up out of thin air, like some people say it did. So you're giving knowledge. It says, with all my heart, before the gods. Now, you got to read Psalms 138, verse 1 yourself. Don't take my word for it. So who are the other gods? Now, I've read, you know, Judges chapter 6, verse 10. Judges chapter 10, verse 6. I told everybody that. Anyway, list all of the other gods. But they're all little g's. It says, I will sing your praises. Then verse 2 says, I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name, for your loving devotion and your faithfulness. You have exalted your name and your word above all else. Psalms 138, verse 2, in the King Jimmy, that's the New Living Translation, the King James says, I will exalt toward the holy temple and praise thy name for all thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, that's the word crucified, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So the first verse we read says he magnified the word and the name. This one says he's magnified the name above, I mean the word above the name. Now let's read again in the New Living Translation so we get better clarity over Psalms 138 verse 2. New Living Translation says, I bow down before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it's talking about, tell me his name if thou canst. Because nobody, again, he has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. Now, there's a lot of people came who say they got the name and they don't. Because how can they have a name that ain't been given? So how can you name something that's nameless? So a lot of people say that they got the name, but they don't got, we're talking about the Father now. And Yahushua is the expression image of the Father on earth, just like you. So all I'm simply saying is this. Like it says in 2 Timothy 15, all of this is basically worthless. It's kind of like vain babbling. Because everybody's arguing over something that is not worth the time to debate or argue over. Because the name and the word, and according to the book of Revelation, his name is the entire word of God. So his name is the word and the word is the name. That's basically what Psalms 138 verse 2, if you didn't catch that, that's what they were saying. Because one verse says it's above, another verse says it's the same, another verse says it's below. It just depends on what interpretation. But remember, it's not option A or option B. It's always option C. Option C usually is a combination. So it's not either or. It's not, okay, do I want chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken? I can have both. So it's not option A or B. You can have option C. So it's the ability to understand, but that the enemy is smart enough to keep you wrestling. So by the time you decide to actually do something, your oil is gone, and your life is up, and you finally wake up, you're 70, 80 years old, and you can't bust a grape. So then you got to DYE and come back and try it all over again. So what's the point? The point is don't waste your time with vain babbling. The point is for you to focus on substance. Do you got faith? Do you got fruit? And do you got freedom? Okay, you don't. Okay, then that's how you know, okay, something's not right. What's the only thing that's missing? Critical thinking. That's it. Thinking, knowing, understanding, being, doing, and having. That's what everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, that's what we all should be engaging up in. We should be engaging up in all of the, allegories. We should be talking about tangible objects. We should be asking questions. Those questions, they should lead us to, again, what I call analysis and reasoning. We should be using reason and logic to engage in logical reasoning. That should be science. That should be spirituality. That should be some problem solving. You should be able to solve some problem. Yahushua came and he solved problems. All the stories that Yahushua, every time we talked about Yahushua, every time you see Jesus in the Bible, he was solving other people's problems. He was teaching a group of people. He was helping people. He was talking to a group or he was talking to his disciples. But every time he went, he sent the crowds. He went before the crowd and then he slipped into the crowd. He always was helping people. He was always solving problems. He was always, using comparisons and contrast to show people different ways of doing things. He always used, putting emphasis on different things, different learning to bring about what I call a collaborative and cooperative learning, meaning with a variety of repetition, meaning you say the same thing, but you just say it in a different way, a variety of repetition. That's what that's didactic teaching. See, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given unto you. Let me say it again. You might want to write this one down. Because a lot of people are looking for what they already got. But we walk around arguing and debating over the name. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put emphasis on it, but we put emphasis on name. The Father, we put emphasis on gender. The source doesn't. So once you understand, my brothers and sisters, that, you know, the knowledge, okay, but what is that? What knowledge? That's what we're talking about. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. You mean there's secrets? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of secrets. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That's what I talk about pretty much every day. This is the secret of God's kingdom of heaven on earth. The ability to understand what Yahushua talks about in Matthew chapter 13. I think it's in Luke and in Mark. And this is extremely important. We're going to start with this that Yahushua was talking about when he was talking to his people in Matthew chapter 13. Let's start with verse 10. Matthew chapter 13. Let's see. Yeah, let's go to verse 9. Matthew 13, 9. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. Ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Now, this is huge. Because this is the substance. This is the source. This is the reason. This is, you know, when you ask that why question seven times before you're doing everything. So he has a name. So this whole conversation that we're having today is about Jesus the Christ. It's about Yeshua the HaMashiach. It's about, again, Yeshua ben Joseph or Yeshua ben David. And so the whole purpose was to bring about salvation. And the word salvation come again, sozo, S-O-Z-O, as I've broken down many, many times. So that's what we should be talking about, sozo. That is to protect somebody from being molested. That's basically what it means, to protect for the molester. To prevent you from being abused, to prevent you from being misused, to prevent you from wasting your time here on earth, to prevent you. Jesus came so that way you can have life and life more abundantly. That means that you don't have to make so many mistakes. You don't have to live your life like I did. You don't have to live your life in error. You actually have a step-by-step process by which to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and to maintain great relationships. So that's the purpose behind today's message. So they was asking him, okay, why do you talk in parables, though? How come you just don't come out and tell us stuff? That was Matthew 13:10. Why do you speak in parables? The people were asking him. Look at verse 11. He replied, "The knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given unto you, but not to them." So this is huge, because the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given, past tense, meaning that I already got it and you got it. But somebody don't got it. Verse 12, okay, who got it, who don't got it? Whoever has will be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. That is the knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That is the kingdom of heaven. That is the only gift that I have. That is what separated me from pretty much everybody on the planet. Now, let me say it again, real slow. So he replied that the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, meaning that you already got it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that you got, but you don't know you got. To the ability that you believe that you got something that everybody tells you you don't got, that's the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus was so profound. Remember, critical thinking. This is what changed my life forever. amongst a lot of other things. It was when I got out of symbolism and I got into substance, because the Bible also says that without this, it's impossible to please God. What is that? Faith. But what is faith? It's really interesting, man, because people tell me, you know, when I first started this, you know, this whole spiritual walk, it was faith in God, then it was faith in people, then it was faith in faith. Now, it's none of those things. Now, it's faith in me. But it's not faith in flesh. It's not faith in self. It's faith in I. It's faith in the universe. Because inside of you is something that I wish and I pray and I know that you're going to find it. Maybe not today, but one day. One day, it will make sense. And you will see that, you know, we have, you know, this treasure. It may not be today, but one day you're going to see that the treasure is inside of a jar of clay. The treasure is not at the Vatican. The treasure is not at the bank. The treasure is your cat, your dog. It's not in the reverend, the doctor, the bishop. It's not in Master Teacher 33. It's not in your husband. It's not in your wife. It's not in your children. It's not in your diamond rings. It's not in your big fancy house. One day, maybe not today, but one day you're going to realize that the treasure is in a jar of clay. And when you go look in the mirror, you're going to be looking at a jar of clay. And one day it's going to click. One day it's going to click. And when it clicks, you will never, ever disrespect yourself. You damn sure ain't going to let nobody else disrespect you. And it's not physical. You will never have a physical confrontation, because your vibe, remember, the ability to read life streams. We're going to break that down later on in the year in the private show. You don't have that yet. But when you get it, you see through people. You don't see people. You see their life on a screen. And you can see all their life on a screen. You can see how they lie to themselves. Now, I broke down the scripture before that says that, you know, when you get to this point, you can judge all people, but you yourself can't be judged. And we've talked about that scripture, and you don't have time to break it down today, but I need you to understand something, brothers and sisters, because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness." God said that. Let light shine out of darkness. Let light shine out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts. To give us, notice the light is in your hearts, and you got more than one. It's an S, it's plural, hearts. To give us, you got three actually, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, in the face of the body of oil. That's why you see God face to face. Remember, we read that, Genesis 32:30. That's the only way you can see him. Face to face, you can see God face to face. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Father, touch the minds of your people, and they may hear what thus says the word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, this is profound. Now we have this treasure. Who has it? Now we, that's you, brother. That's you, sister. We all have this treasure. Not just the white man. Not the red man, not the yellow man, the brown man, the green man, the blue man, the black man, the purple man. We all have this treasure, brother. We all have this treasure, sister. In jars of clay. To do what with it? Why do we have this treasure? That word treasure is Thessaron, Thessaron in the Greek, Thessauron. That means a deposit of wealth. Father, touch the minds of your people. We all have this deposit of wealth. It's a store. It's not just one item. You just go into the store and you can just go shopping. You got it. You got a deposit of wealth in jars of clay. For what? Why do you have this deposit of wealth? Now, you're looking for the name when you already got the deposit. Now, I am not going to argue. When I go to the bank to look at my deposit, I don't give a damn what the name of the bank is. I don't care if it's Chase Bank. I don't care if it's Bank of America. I don't care if it's Bank of freaking Zimbabwe. I don't care if it's Bank of the Three Rivers of the Fourth Tongue on the left. I don't care about the name of the bank. I'm concerned about the deposit in the bank. Father, touch the minds of your people. See, why you're talking about, hey, man, what's the name of the bank that got my deposit in? I've already went to the bank and took my money out. Now, you can sit there and you can talk about what is the name of the bank that got your deposit. Or you can walk into the freaking bank and you can take out your deposit. I recommend that program. You see, brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, now we have this treasure. Now, notice the emphasis on the word have, because now we've got to go back to the smoking gun as to why every Negro on the freaking damn planet is broke, busted, and disgusted. Whoever has. You see, you ain't got to go get nothing. You just got to make up in your mind that you already got it. Now, I don't know what you got. I got a whole system. I got freaking 50 books. I got 5,000 shows that all this, everything that I'm doing is designed just for one thing, just to show you what you already got so you can freaking stop looking. Now, maybe not today. It's not going to register. I don't know when everybody gets there at a different point. Everybody on their own schedule. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I don't want you to rush. I want you to slow down. Boo-boo, I want you to do you. I want you to go at your speed and your pace. But all I know is one day, it may not be today, but one day the light's going to come on. It took me 50 years to get here. It might take you a while. One day the light's going to come on. And when you read Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, and you read 2 Corinthians 4, 7, those two scriptures, that destroys pretty much everything that's been taught on this planet. You see, the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given already. Stop looking for it because you already got it. You don't need no more books. You don't need no more courses. You don't need no more reverends. You don't need no more doctors. You don't need no more bishops. You don't even need me. You already got everything that you need for life and godliness. The Father gave it to you at freaking birth, homeboy. He gave it to you at birth, homegirl. You already got it. But the devil wants to convince you that you don't. And so you will spend your entire life looking and praying and hoping and wishing for shizness you already got. Now, again, it took me 50 years to figure this out. It may take you a little while. It is okay. I'm just simply saying one day, maybe not today, but one day the light's going to freaking come on. And you're going, the light is shining in darkness. Whoever has. So I want to ask you today, brother. I want to ask you today, sister. I want you to use some critical thinking. What do you got? Me, myself, and my third eye, all three of us, we got everything that we need for life and godliness. It was given to us by our forefather. It was predestined before I was a thought form. My father knew me in my mother's womb. He called me. He's gifted me. He sanctified me. He's justified me. I don't need no man's endorsement or a woman for that matter. No bishop or no pope. Nobody has to anoint me or crown me. I crown my damn self. I recommend you do the same thing, boo-boo. Now, see, we like to debate and we like to argue. And we're looking for Jesus Christ because we don't know that we are Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's a tough statement for you. I know that most people have a excuse me, a difficult time wrapping their brain around this statement, but let me make sure you understand. Because this is the mystery of the kingdom of the kingdom of heaven, and it has been given unto you. Whoever has will be given more. So your problem is you don't have money. So therefore, the Father will not give you money. Now, excuse me. Let me make sure I say this real slowly. And we bring today's message to a close. Everything you're looking for and everyone you're looking for, you already got. You are the Christ. You don't have to look for the Christ. It's inside of you. It's in a jar of clay. Now, if you are, if you're not made out of clay, if you're a spirit being and you walk around and you're an orb, you're a mojo, you're a djinn, you're a sprite, or you're a genie, or you're something else that's you are unauthorized. You know, it is illegal for you to be on this planet without a body. So if you're one of those that's on this planet without a body, you stole somebody else's body, I'm not talking to you. Because there's a lot of, you know, men that ain't men walking around here. So this message is not for you if you're here illegally. But if you're on this planet legally, if you are, you know, if you are a spirit that has taken possession of a soul that is downloaded into a jar of clay, this message is for you. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear nor understand. So I'm talking, but are you understanding? So I just gave you the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I just gave you all of it. The entire mysteries, the entire mist story. This is the water story. This is how the water in your body becomes crystalline. This is how you activate the hydro genes. This is how you activate your genes. It's for you to stop looking and asking, and for you to start having and giving. To him that has, more will be given. Let me say one more time. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even the little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. Matthew chapter 13, verse 12 in the New Living Translation. You see, brothers and sisters, this is not about things. It's about understanding, overstanding, and understanding, as I've been saying ever since I overstood. My life changed the moment I realized I don't got a money problem. I got an understanding problem. I don't have a health problem. There is something that I'm hearing that I'm not understanding. So if I can get clarity, crystal clear clarity, as I've been saying, if you remember the life management system, I'm telling you the same thing. I'm just doing just like Yahushua taught me. I'm just telling it to you in a different way because I keep saying it. But people, if you're not getting it, I got to keep saying it until I get that chemistry. And that chemistry is going to produce currency. But I got to keep saying it until you get clarity. I'm going to keep saying it until you get clarity. And then once you get clarity, you're going to get competency. Once you get competency, you're going to get confidence. Once you get competence, you're going to be complete. Once you be complete, you're going to be conscious. Once you be conscious, you're going to be certain. And once you be certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, bam, you got chemistry. And we got chemistry. Oh man, everybody and their grandmother is going to give you that currency. At least everybody in your circle, everybody who you call to have an impact on, they're going to give you that currency. Why? Whoever has, more will be given. What do we have? Understanding. Understanding of what? We got understanding of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's close with this. Now, we have this light shining in our hearts. Do you got the light shining in your heart, brother? Do you have the light shining in your heart, sister? But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. These vessels, these bodies are fragile, but they contain something that's eternal. This makes it clear. How do we make it clear? Anybody want clarity today? Is there anybody listening to the sound of my voice that want clarity, crystal clear clarity of your purpose, of your destiny, of your anointing, of your calling, of your giftedness? Is there anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice who wants crystal clear clarity? Well, let me give it to you. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Father, touch the minds of your people that they may hear what thus says the word of God. We are pressed on all sides, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we are not in despair. Why worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear? Why y'all worry? Why y'all concerned? Why do y'all give a why y'all care? I don't care. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We may be pressed on all sides, but we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always, how long? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. There's no Christ, there's nothing, it's just a name. We carry this, but where do we carry it? Remember, this is clarity. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, his body, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Where is the life of Jesus revealed at? Why are you looking for Jesus out there? I'm revealing Jesus to you in here. As I did on Sunday morning, and I'm going to be doing next Sunday morning, and every Sunday morning, I'm going to be revealing to you Jesus Christ eternal within the body. Now, I know you're going to keep looking for him out there somewhere. It's okay, boo-boo. It might take you a little while. But after a while, maybe not today, but after a while, the light's going to come on. And you're going to realize, always, I don't got to go get it. I was born with it. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Verse 11, for we who are alive are always co-signed to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. This is an inside-outside job. As I proved to everybody that was listening on Sunday, when I showed you inside the body, and again, I'm going to break down the biology of it, is a biological process that they call spintronics. Excuse me, that I have inside of my book called Christened. How inside of each cell inside of your body, there is a process that takes place. And this process uses laminin, which is in the form of a cross. And laminin, when it spins inside of the body, when that cross spins, it produces and it does something inside of the body. This is, again, the biopolymers. And some other processes that I'll be breaking down to explain the biological process that takes place that talks about Christ eternal within the body. That's what the name Yahweh-Shin-Vahe means, Christ eternal within the body. So there is the life of Christ, which is, again, eternal. There is an eternal process that should be taking place inside of the body that is not. That once we understand this eternal process, that brings about eternal life. That is the key to over and understanding the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that have been given unto you, but not unto them. Whoever has will be given more. All you got to do, brothers and sisters, is look at what you already have. What do everybody have? Everybody has a body that is on this planet. Your health is your wealth. To the degree that you understand your body is the degree that you understand your money. Clarity produces currency, the movement, the circulation of blood and water inside of the body. When they pierced Yahushua in his side, what came out? Water. To the degree that you can over and understand Yahushua the HaMashiach, Yahushua ben Joseph, Yahushua ben David, this is the suffering, this is the cross that activates the crown. There is a cross, laminin, it activates the crown, the cloud, the colostrum. Father, touch the minds of your people. The cross activates the crown. That is a process that takes place right now in your body that I will be proving. I've already really wrote it down, the process inside of my book, The Biology of the Temple. But I'm going to go through it again in case for whatever reason you didn't read the book. We'll be breaking it down, not this series, but the following series as we go through the ontological history of mankind and planet Earth as I continue to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify Christ eternal within the body. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by the Son. You just might want to know who Jesus Christ really is without knowing the body of the oil amplified or the amplified oil in the body. Without you overstanding that, understanding that, and understanding that, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have, taken away from them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. And the smoking gun that we read in the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, really the 7 through 12, but let's close with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me, verse 7, let's read that one again in the New Living Translation. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you already got the light, and it's shining in your heart. But we ourselves, we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. That great treasure, brothers and sisters, is that light. But wait on, hold up, there's more. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not of ourselves. Now, I don't know if you get as excited as I do when I read that. Because verse 6 said that, let light shine out of darkness. This is how you get out of your situation. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. So there's a light, brother. There's a light, sister. It's shining in your heart. Even though you're just a fragile jar of clay. But this fragile jar of clay, it contains a great treasure. So I know. So it goes back to Matthew, to him that knows, more knowing will be given. See, but if you don't know this, if you don't know that you got this light, if you don't know that you got this treasure, then you don't get more light and you don't get more treasure. But if you know, if you don't believe it, if you don't wish for it, if you don't pray for it, if you don't hope for it, if you know you freaking got it because your forefather told you got it. If you can believe your forefather, if you can believe what the word of God said, if you can believe it, you will achieve it. But you don't believe it. If you know you got the light in your heart because you can feel it, you know you got light. You know you're not no evil dude. You know you're not no evil dude. You know you're not out walking around now. If you're not, okay, different study for a different time. But if you know you got a conscience, if you know you didn't wake up this morning and trying to figure out how to con your neighbor, if you didn't wake up this morning trying to figure out how to defraud somebody, try to hurt somebody, if you're not out sitting out somewhere trying to hit somebody here with a hammer, if you ain't trying to take something that's not yours, if you know you got a light in your heart, brother, if you know you got light in your heart, sister, then that is proof evident. It says that makes it clear that this great power is from God, not from yourself. So if you're listening to this show, there's no way on God's green earth you can sit here and listen to me yell for an hour and a half unless you got that light. So I know, you may not know it, I know you got the light in your heart, downloaded into your spirit from the Father of Fathers. I know it. Even if you don't, I know it. I know you have the light of God inside of you. And that light gives you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it promotes or it projects you into the face or into the presence of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. That's the end of verse 6. Now remember, Jesus means his body. Christ means his oil. So this promotes you or moves you into the oil. What is the oil? It's in the spinal cord. It goes up your back and it makes the I, the E-Y-E, single. That's what it said. So 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness. That means there's light in you. Your skin makes it dark, makes you dark, but there's light in you. He said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So the glory of God is in the face of the body that contains the oil. And brothers and sisters, in your body, there is that oil. And you can see the Father face to face, according to Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to break bread with you today. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to read your life script or your life stream. It is my prayer that there was something said today that has transformed your life and to establish a closer relationship with the Forefather through the S-U-N and the S-O-N. It is my prayer that you will be joining me on the next series that starts. We'll start it on Wednesday night, I guess probably about 6 or 7, probably 7. And that will break down the true meaning or the true, I'm going to use the word esoteric for lack of a better term, history of sex and marriage. So that way we all can vibrate again in a deeper understanding of light, because that is the key to the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given unto you. And that knowledge is the ability to discern and the ability to understand through critical thinking. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name, he has a name written on the star that's bigger than any man, than any person can pronounce. And may the Son, the S-U-N, the S-O-N, and may the Ruach and the Pneuma continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my beautiful sisters, make no doubt about it. I will see you, because I'm already here. I'm just waiting on you. I will see you in eternity. God bless.
Yeah, never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? Stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head. outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
If you don't get it, best repeat it.
You'll find it. I would be the one.